Blog Talk Radio.
I win the prize. I figured it out. Jesus. Well, that was a wonderful little rendition of something by Stevie Nicks. I could
Goldust Woman.
Goldust Woman. That's it. That's the one. That's what we did. So,
I scrolled all
weird.
The way down through all the audio clips, and it was playing by itself, which I don't know.
Welcome to the Ghost of Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, that's just what we're doing tonight is Ghost of Blog Talk. So hello, everyone. First of all, welcome to another great show. If you are tuning in for the first time, please go ahead and give us a like on Freaks and Geeks, Facebook.com. Welcome to our world, our geeky little world that we have. And, you know, give us a like. And make a comment, make some new friends. Who knows? You never know. So we have a new show list up, and I definitely want to point that out for everybody. Check it out at least the next month and a half, 2 months, basically carrying us all the way through the holidays is up for grabs right now. So you can see what episodes we are going to do. And if you have any suggestions for anything you'd like to see in the future, don't be shy. Let us know. Yep, Tuesday evenings, and that's us. And tonight, we are actually going to start our journey, our brave journey, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. No, just kidding. There's actually a lot of great podcasts about this stuff. But it's a first for us, for sure. We are going to be dealing with aliens tonight, finally. As always, I am joined by the usual suspects, Carrie.
Hello, hello.
Stacy.
Hey, guys.
Of course, the buttery caramel tunes of Mr. Christopher Bradelphi.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say aliens, but you know. Aliens, yeah.
Aliens. Okay. I'm glad we're here.
Today. Getting deep in them aliens, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Reproducing.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're going to be the ones that feel probed tonight?
Oh, yeah.
You had to say probed.
Oh,
I did. There's going to be lots of probing. We're going to probe all sorts of topics throughout the next few months. You know, really kind of take a good look and just dissect
some of those topics a little bit more, you know? Just really do
We're going to probe all the cavities we can.
I'm uncomfortable with this topic to begin with, so not helping.
You are.
You're uncomfortable?
Oh, yeah. For those that don't know, Carrie is deathly afraid of aliens. For what ungodly reason, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I think I am one.
Yeah.
Oh.
So this is Carrie's nightmare. But here we are all together, ready to forge forward, and I will be the Captain Kirk of this motley crew.
Oh, God, help us.
Chris will be my Uhura.
Oh, man, and, you know, I got a feather dance right here for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sensual.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like Carrie would be Spock. And then, Stacey, you would be Bones.
Bones.
Like Jen, the doctor. What's his name?
Yeah, Bones.
I don't know. He might be a little bit of Scotty. She might be a little bit of Scotty, too. Because
it's
she's
McCoy.
Definitely the one that's like, we can't do this. Like,
I can't do it, Captain.
Oh, here we are. Okay, so let's get into our topic tonight, or else we will literally go on for the rest of the night talking about all sorts of crazy things that don't make any sense. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and skip through our intro and continue on. Our content tonight is going to come from several websites, including MUFON, of course. We had to throw that in there. History.com, the CIA website of all things. And, of course, a healthy dosing of that good, good source, Wikipedia. Lots to discuss and food for thought. So let's get super geeky and let's talk about Area 51. According to History.com, located in the remote Nevada desert near the dry bed of Groom Lake, Area 51 may be the most famous military installation in the world that doesn't officially exist. Though you can see the complex's buildings and satellite images, it doesn't appear on any U.S. public government maps. For decades, conspiracy theorists and UFOologists have speculated that the government uses Area 51 to experiment with extraterrestrials and their spacecrafts. Some have connected the site with the alleged government cover-up of a 1947 incident in which an alien spacecraft supposedly crashed near Roswell, New Mexico. Others have even claimed that the moon landing was staged right there in the Nevada desert. Before we get into all that, though, let's have a little bit of a background to set the stage.
All right, so we're going to clear something up right now. We're either going to use ufologists or UFOlogists.
I mean,
I like ufology.
Whenever we decide, I'm not going to remember. So.
All right. So are we going with ufologists?
I think we should go with ufologists.
I think that they would call themselves ufologists.
I mean, it is it's a sincere possibility.
Yeah. All right. Well, ufologists it is.
Well, speaking of names, the origin of the Area 51 name is unclear. The most accepted comes from a grid numbering system of the area by the Atomic Energy Commission. While Area 51 is not part of this system, you can see the list of areas for the Nevada test site on Wikipedia. It's adjacent to Area 15, and some think the number 51 was used because it was unlikely that the AEC would use that number. The CIA website tells us that this strip of wasteland was known in the 1950s by its map designation, Area 51. To make the new facility sound more attractive to the pilots and workers who would reside there, Lockheed's famous aeronautical engineer, Clarence Kelly Johnson, called it Paradise Ranch, which was soon shortened to just the Ranch. Many of the workers even referred to themselves as ranch hands. Area 51 is also known by the nickname Watertown, which was rumored to have been inspired by the name of CIA Director Allen Dulles' birthplace of Watertown, New York. Records show that the name was a reference to when rainwater would run off the nearby mountains and flood the dry lake bed of Groom Lake. Whenever the lake bed flooded, project managers would refer to the facility as Watertown Strip.
All right, so before we get too far into this, just everybody know that there are books upon books upon books of stuff when it comes to Area 51 and the Roswell incident and all that kind of stuff. Like, there are thousands upon, tens of thousands upon, you know, tens of thousands of pages for consumption if you really want to get into this subject, and more than likely probably ruin all relationships that you have because it consumes your life and you can't think of anything else but the fact that the government's covering up a bunch of alien conspiracies. But, you know,
agreed.
If that tickles your fancy. So the name Dreamland was also commonly associated with the Groom Lake facility, according to Thornton D. T.D. Barnes, for short, president of Roadrunners International, an association of former Air Force, CIA, and contract personnel serving at Area 51 during the Cold War. Dreamland was a radio sign for the base, introduced in the late 1960s. It placed the previous name, Yuletide, and referred specifically to the large block of airspace called a special operations area surrounding Area 51 and parts of the Nevada test site and Nellis Air Force Range, now known as the Nevada test site and training range. Although the commonly preferred official name for the facility today is the Nevada test and training range at Groom Lake. Both the names Watertown and Area 51 were used as official names for the facility. According to Barnes, Area 51 may be found on official Nevada test site maps and other documentation, while some Department of Energy documents indicate that Watertown is legally listed as a member of Alamo Township in Lincoln County, Nevada. So lots of different names for this top secret place, but Area 51 has been the most identifiable in our American society, probably because it sounds the most secretive and spooky. Eh?
Yes, it definitely sounds secretive and spooky. I will second that.
Yeah, like Area 51, like it's so weird and creepy. It doesn't even really have a name, or does it? Or what does that mean, Area 51?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that most people don't really understand is that the United States, in fact, really the world, is actually split up into areas as far as the U.S. government is concerned. So, like, it could be nothing. It could be a dump. You know, like, it could be anything. It could be a facility for recycling, and it would still be considered an area. And this just so happens there's an Area 40, there's an Area 50, there's an Area 52. There's everything. So everybody is like, oh, it's Area 51. It's weird that it's 51. It's weird that it's just called Area because it's not a real name and all this stuff. And in all reality, that exists all over the place. There's all sorts of areas.
Mean, my favorite is Area 69.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Giggity.
Jesus Christ, Chris. Did you just get laid already?
Maybe later. Oh. Sad.
I'll say no.
Definitely.
Oh, okay. So let's get geeky and talk about some geography and how you get there. So this original rectangular base of 6 by 10 miles, and that's 9.7 by 16.1 kilometers for our metric listeners, is now part of the so-called Groom Box, a rectangular area measuring 23 by 25 miles, or 37 by 40 kilometers, of restricted airspace. The area is connected to the internal Nevada test site road network, with paved roads leading south to Mercury and west to, do you say Yucca or Yucca?
Yucca.
I say Yucca.
Yucca
Flat. So it's definitely Yucca. So it's definitely Yucca.
Yucca, okay.
Because it's a Spanish word, and I was recently corrected by my lovely coworkers who are listening tonight. Thank you so much, you assholes. Anyway, so Yucca.
Oh, man, yeah.
Thank you to the assholes out in listening land for letting me know what I should say.
They make fun of my accent all the time. They're like, Yucca?
Oh, Christ, they'd have a field day with mine. All right. So west to Yucca. Yucca? What did we say was again? I told you I would forget. Yucca. Yucca Flat. All right. Leading northeast from the lake, the wide and well-maintained Groom Lake Road runs through a pass in the Jumbull Hills. The road formerly led to mines in the Groom Basin, but has been improved since their closure. Its winding course runs past a security checkpoint, but the restricted area around the base extends farther east. After leaving the restricted area, Groom Lake Road descends eastward to the floor of the Peekaboo Valley, passing the dirt road entrances to several small ranches before converging with State Route 375, the extraterrestrial highway, south of Rachel. Basically, the middle of nowhere.
I love the middle of nowhere.
I mean, if you're going to encounter aliens or some, like, really creepy shit, the best place to be is the middle of nowhere with, like, no phones, you know, no lights,
maybe that's
no hope of being helped.
They lost the signal because they were in the middle of bunfuck nowhere.
Exactly. It's like, where's my fucking signal? It's nowhere to be found. Oh, because I'm in the middle of nowhere.
I love that it's called Peekaboo Valley. Like, isn't that something, there was, like, some, like, preteen movie, and, the, like, that was something that they would say, like, I'll get that fast for you, Peekaboo, like, something, I don't remember, but it was something really, like,
what?
90s.
You sound like.
No, it was, like, some Disney Channel special, and it was like some preteen crap that was terrible, and like they were saying Peekaboo, and it just makes me think of that, and it just is very cringy for me.
Is this like Miley Cyrus before she started like having complete meltdowns on stage and like, you know, rubbing herself or whatever? Like,
it was
on
before
stage.
I'm too old for Miley. This is before Miley Cyrus. It might have been Melissa Joan Hart, though. It might have been her.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, as she was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
No. It might have been, I don't know, but it was something like that. Anyway, cringy 90s shit is what that conjures in my head. I don't ever want to go there.
Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, I'll get that quick for you. Peekaboo. Like, what the fuck?
Welcome
is
to 90s gossip.
With your goddamn glitter eyeshadow. Get away from me. Anyway, most commuters to Area 51 travel on unmarked Boeing 737s or 727s. Planes depart from a terminal at the McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas. Defense contractor EG&G owns the terminal. Each plane uses the word Janet, followed by three digits as a call sign to the airport's control tower. The airspace above Area 51 is known as Romeo 4808N. And is restricted to all commercial and military flights not originating from the base itself, except the Janet commuters, of course. Area 51 is believed to be part of either Edwards Air Force Base in California or the Nellis Air Force Range in Nevada, even though pilots from those bases are forbidden to fly in Area 51's airspace. In fact, pilots who fly into one of the buffer zones surrounding Romeo 4808 North reportedly face punishment from their commanders, though it's fairly lenient. Whenever a pilot flies through a buffer zone, the training exercise immediately ends and the pilot is ordered back to base. Knowingly flying into Romeo 4808 North is a much more serious offense, and the pilots can face a court-martial, dishonorable discharge, and time in prison as a result.
Well, there's some spooky shit going on there.
Well, shit, make sure you know where you're flying. I mean, Jesus.
I mean, this seems to be an issue all the time when it comes to international airspace, so I don't foresee them getting it correct here. this is why they're running out of pilots, because they keep getting rid of them, because they keep fucking up.
The military classifies Area 51 as a military operating area, or MOA. The borders of Area 51 are not fenced, but are marked with orange poles and warning signs. The signs tell you that photography isn't allowed and that trespassing on the property will result in a fine. The signs also warn that security is authorized to use deadly force on people who insist on trespassing. Rumors circulate among conspiracy theorists over how many unfortunate truth seekers have died as a result of tromping around the grounds of Area 51. Though most believe that trespassers are dealt with in a much violent manner, much less violent manner. Probing. Pairs of men who don't appear to be...
I don't know if that's a less violent... I mean, just kill me.
I guess it depends on who you are and what your fancy is.
I mean, they might just give you a wet willy.
So there's probably some people that go there hoping they get probed.
Very
oh
true.
God, what? Oh, I'm walking on the. Oh God, no! Don't do that. Oh Jesus.
Alrighty.
Oh my God, I'm. Oh, okay.
Try to erase that from everyone's memories. Pairs of men who don't appear to be in the military patrol the perimeter. These guards are likely civilians hired from firms like Wackenhut or EG&G. Observers call them camo dudes because they often wear desert camouflage. The camo dudes usually drive around in four-wheel drive vehicles, keeping an eye on anyone near the borders of Area 51. Supposedly, their instructions are to avoid contact with intruders if possible and act merely as both an observer and a deterrent. If someone seems suspicious, the camo dudes will call in the local sheriff to deal with them. Once in a while, they have confronted trespassers, allegedly seizing any film or other recording devices and intimidating the trespassers. Sometimes helicopters provide additional support. There are rumors that the helicopter pilots occasionally use illegal tactics like hovering very low over trespassers to harass them.
That sounds like fun. Let's not kid ourselves. That seems like it would be a lot of fun. Just to mess with people by flying really low in a helicopter.
Oh yeah, if you're the one doing the
harassing. Yeah, if you're the one doing the harassing, yeah. Also, camo dude sounds like a version of the Big Lebowski where he's got to go to war. Oh man, why are we fighting? Spilled my drink. So other security measures include sensors planted around the perimeter of the base. These sensors detect movement, and some believe they can even discern the difference between an animal and a human being. Since Area 51 is effectively a wildlife preserve, quote-unquote, it was important to create warning devices that could not easily be tripped by a passing animal. One theory held by observers is that the sensors can detect the scent of the passing creature. The sensors detect an ammonia signature. While that has yet to be substantiated, it's certain that there are buried sensors all around Area 51. One Raquel resident named Chuck Clark discovered several of the sensors, and at one point the FBI accused him of interfering with signal devices and ordered him to either return the missing sensor or pay a fine, which honestly that didn't seem like the FBI. I think the FBI would just like go in and be like, put this shit back or we're going to take you away. But you know, Clark denied taking one, but agreed to stop his investigations because they're on to him.
Well, so while I was on, you know, I was in San Diego last week, and while I was on travel and I was doing research for this show, I was watching some YouTube clips of some History Channel programs that they had on about this. And there was this guy that went, and it was really crazy. And this was the part that really struck me, is that there was no fences anywhere. This guy was driving down the road and he had his camera and he's like, okay, so I'm going to show you guys, you know, where the sort of line in the sand is. And he got out of his truck and there was a sign there that said, you know, no trespassing beyond this point. And he was panning the camera around and he pointed up to this, you know, big white sort of, it looked like a Ford, like F-150 or whatever, sitting up on a hillside, looking down into the valley. And he's like, so you see, he's like, there's trucks up there. He's like, they're not, they're just sitting there right now. They're not doing anything. But if I were to make a motion, like I'm going to walk further into, like inside the perimeter that's established here, he's like, I would be arrested on site. If I even start to make motions like I'm getting close to doing that, somebody will most likely appear and tell me that I need to go away. He's like, people have been arrested for even just making motions like they're going to cross over. And I thought that was really interesting that something so secretive and so highly guarded like that, there's no fences.
I think they're just looking, they're trying to trap people so they can take them for experiments.
That's a possibility.
I mean,
when you hear some of the other shit we're going to talk about tonight, that falls in line there.
I mean, let's be honest. The government's just stealing people to make experiments. It's hybrid human-alien babies, okay? Let's just put it out there.
Well, I mean, do you think that the reason why there's no fences is because of the wildlife, or do you think that it is... Is there some other reason because there is this sort of advanced technology and they're trying to not call attention to it if you're anywhere close to it, but
government
they can detect you?
Budget cuts. They couldn't afford fences.
Well, I think you need to preface a lot of this. So we're getting on the more conspiracy type side of Area 51, but first and foremost, Area 51 is a weapons testing range. And so it would be crazy to have that much. It is. So it would be crazy to have that much of the weapons testing range. Like it's hundreds and hundreds of miles. So to have that fenced off and then to maintain that fence would be a crazy big cost when they can just do something very simple technology, like install geophones into the ground that will give you measures of the ground, like moving. If somebody is running across the ground, it would alert you to that. So that's probably where the camo men can come from, is that they have a geophone sensing system and that they are able to tell where there's movement, where there's not. And they could obviously tell what is an animal and what is not an animal. And, I mean, they fly a lot of planes out of Area 51, and usually they are developmental aircraft. And I don't know if we talk about this later on, but if anybody's interested in that, then that would be pretty well covered under the Skunk Works. So that would be like Lockheed Martin Skunk Works and then Phantom Works and stuff like that. So it's really interesting when you get into that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a really good segue, actually, because so this Nevada test site was actually – primary testing location for American nuclear devices from 1951 to 1992. And we know that there were 928 announced nuclear tests that occurred here. Of those, 828 were underground. 62 of the underground tests included multiple simultaneous nuclear detonations, adding 93 detonations and bringing the total number of Nevada test site nuclear detonations to 1,021, of which 921 were underground. So the site is covered with subsidence craters from the testing. Now, the workers at Area 51 had to endure very difficult conditions since the earliest days of the facility. So in the 1950s, when the focus was the base was the testing of the U-2 spy plane, the CIA had to cease operations and evacuate the facility due to nearby nuclear testing on the neighboring Nevada test site. So sometimes the Atomic Energy Commission would announce a test ahead of schedule to allow the nearby residents time to evacuate if they felt it was necessary. But other times the tests would just remain unannounced. The result of these tests could be seen from towns 100 miles or 161 kilometers away. People in Las Vegas would often organize trips to nearby peaks and picnic in view of mushroom clouds. Like, how crazy is that shit?
I mean, when I'm thinking of a picnic, that's what I want to see. I just want to see an object that would immediately vaporize my face off.
It totally puts me in that Daisy commercial. Who was it that was running for president that had the Daisy that then showed, like, goes into, like, the little girl with the Daisy, and then it goes into, like, a nuclear bomb, like a mushroom cloud in the background?
Oh, like, Donald Trump.
No. 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 You know the commercial I'm talking about? I can't remember who it was. I have to look it up, but...
I mean, as long as they're hiding under, as long as they have a desk to hide under, they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what our, parents were taught, so.
I still live by it. Did we lose April?
No, I'm here. Never mind. I thought we were paragraph back. My bad. I was trying to figure out who the Daisy politician nuclear bomb was. Thank you, Google. I'm on here. BOMB. Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm doing it. Daisy advertisement. Daisy Girl, or Peace Little Girl, was a controversial political advertisement aired on television during the 1964 United States presidential election by incumbent President Lyndon Baines Johnson's campaign.
That's it.
LBJ. Oh, the good old LBJ.
Yeah, LBJ with his little girl to Daisy.
Yep, he won over Barry Goldwater.
I mean,
there we go. Okay, so I had to flake my first. In 1957, one such test called Hood was a part of an overall program called Operation Plum Bob.
That's a fantastic name.
The Sims?
That sounds like
The Sims?
Is a what?
The Sims.
Sounds like, oh Jesus Christ. It sounds like it's a particularly hairy man.
Oh, gosh.
Had some remnants on his buttock.
Would you rather have Operation Plum Bob or Operation Plumbus?
I think either way, this hairy man is definitely a plumber by trade. Yes,
just a lot of crap.
Just a lot of dingleberries going on there. Operation Plum Bob, which was designed to see if damaged nuclear bombs emitted harmful levels of radioactivity. The AEC detonated a 74-kiloton nuclear device 1,500 feet over Area 9 of the NTS. See, there's not an area right there. This was the most powerful airburst ever detonated over the continental United States. The AEC did not announce the test ahead of time, though they did tell Area 51 to evacuate beforehand. The resulting blast caused some minor damage at Area 51, mostly some broken windows and doors. Radiation was a much bigger concern. And, in fact, the soil in Area 51 has absorbed a lot of radiation over the years of nuclear tests. Another notable test shot was the Sedan shot of Operation Storax. Storax on 6 July 1962. A 104-kiloton of TNT shot for Operation Plowshare. Jesus, these names, they need help. Which sought to prove that nuclear weapons could be used for peaceful means in creating bays or canals. It created a crater 1,200 feet wide and 320 feet deep that can still be seen today. So we've got a remote, top-secret location with ties to nuclear testing. What else do we know about this place?
Well, let's look at Operation Plunger and get some of that truth out.
Oh, yes, we are going to talk about some skunk works. Woo-woo!
Y'all might as well be speaking Sumerian. Well, over the years, the CIA, U.S. Air Force, and aerospace company Lockheed Martin have all used Area 51 as a staging ground for test flights of experimental aircraft, or black aircraft. According to documents declassified in 2007, in the 1950s and 60s, Area 51 was home to a top-secret Cold War-era program known as Oxcart. And who's naming these? Like a 15th-century serf?
I mean, you got to think, nerds are the ones who are naming this shit. So they're going to name it weird stuff. I'm more surprised they don't.
Was fresh off the Renaissance Fair?
I mean, I'm surprised they're not more named towards like D&D characters, which I'm sure all of these insanely smart nerds were really into.
M'lady.
Operation Magic Missile.
Can I tell you guys the strangest missile name I've ever heard.
Let's hear it.
What?
Okay, now I'm going to tell you all this and tell everyone who's listening this with as much seriousness as I possibly can. This is not a joke. I am not joking with you. There is a missile out there called the Penetrating Cum Blast.
Oh, I hope it just explodes with white goo.
Does it have a really big head? Like a real big like dome on it?
And a long thin shaft.
The fins
come down on the bottom and they're sort of circular.
Yeah,
and there's like a big piece of tubing that sort of wraps around it. Almost kind of like a vein.
Just need an adult and a priest.
It all the way around. And it glistens. The head of the warhead just glistens in the light.
Well, the tubing pulsates.
Yeah.
Once it gets close to detonation.
Okay, listen, I never claimed to have anything more than the sense of humor of a 13-year-old boy, so like
welcome perfect. Tonight to sex talk in the military.
Subtitle.
Anyway, Operation Ox.
Sorry, well, Carrie.
No.
Sorry, like, Carrie, back to the ox cart.
So Oxcart was aimed at developing a spy plane that would be undetectable in the air and could be used for information gathering missions behind the Iron Curtain. The result was the Archangel 12, or A-12, which could travel at speeds of more than 2,000 miles an hour and take clear pictures of objects on the ground from an altitude of 90,000 feet. Other well-known aircraft tested there include the A-12 Successor, the SR-71 Blackbird, as well as the F-117 Nighthawk stealth fighter. From the ground, such experimental aircraft traveling at Mach 3 speeds undoubtedly resembled some people's idea of what an alien spacecraft would look like, helping to explain why so many people reported UFO sightings in the skies above Nevada over the years. Such sightings, along with the secrecy surrounding the Groom Lake site, fueled the rumors swirling around Area 51, and helped create the air of mystery it retains today. This is really just a snapshot of what the public knows that has happened or been developed and or tested at Area 51. There are many other projects listed online, and the MUFON reprint of the article, How Area 51 Works, lists quite a few others. The key here is that all current operations are a mystery.
And so mystery and secrecy, according to that same article published by MUFON, to say access to the base is limited is an understatement. The base and its activities are highly classified. The remote location keeps the activities figuratively under the radar, as does the proximity to the Nevada National Security Site, formerly the Nevada Test Site, where the nuclear devices are tested. To gain access, you need top secret clearance, as well as an invitation from the highest levels of military or intelligence community. The government has gone to a lot of trouble to make it difficult for anyone to see what's going on inside Area 51. For years, map makers left out the facility, and while it fell inside the borders of Nellis Air Force Range, the road leading up to the facility was never shown. Even today, Area 51 is surrounded by thousands of acres of empty desert landscape, and the Air Force has withdrawn lands from public use to help keep the base hidden from snooping eyes. For many years, observers could hike to the elevated vantage points like Whitesides Peak or Freedom Ridge, but those areas have been seized as well. Today, to see anything at all, you have to make the strenuous hike up Peekaboo Peak, 26 miles from the facility. From there, you may get a brief glimpse of runway lights flashing on an experimental aircraft taking off before the lights go out again and plunge Area 51 into darkness. Everyone who works at Area 51, whether they're military or civilian, has to sign an oath agreeing to keep everything secret. Buildings at the site are said to lack windows, which prevent people from seeing anything not related to their own duties at the base. by some reports, different teams would work on similar projects at the same time, but their supervisors would keep each team ignorant of the other team's project, which is just government work at its finest.
Yes.
When testing a secret aircraft, officials ordered all uninvolved employees to stay inside until the test flight was over, and then the aircraft returned to its hangar. So, yeah, that's just government at its finest.
I mean, do you think when people go to Area 51, they literally never leave?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think that's probably a job that you have that you're probably cleared to have, and that becomes like your job for life.
Yeah, I would think that like you don't even retire from there. You just stay there till you die.
Yeah, well people are probably handsomely compensated because they're very special people with specialized skill sets, and so yeah, I mean they probably have no reason to want to leave.
They're probably listening right now going, oh my God, help me. Help me. No, I don't want
to
stay.
Well, I mean, they get to work on the aliens and the alien spacecraft, so I wouldn't want to leave either. So.
Oh, God. So let's think about what was going on in the world in the 1950s and the 1960s. The technology available in society and how that relates to the rumors and stories connected to Area 51. It's not a far reach to think that witnesses of these experimental aircraft, coupled with the nuclear testing and the heightened sense of alertness because of the Cold War, maybe people at the time were just a bit on edge.
Lies and slander. Okay. Lies and slander. UFO hysteria was reaching its peak in that during that time frame.
It was like satanic panic, but it wasn't satanic. It was just
It was UFO panic.
UFO panic. Done.
Yep.
Well, I mean, if you think about, like, what was going on at the time, like you said, I mean, what you experienced in your everyday life as far as technology, and then, say, you witness something, say you live close to this area, close enough where maybe you could see some sort of experimental craft take off. I mean, that would be pretty incredible. I mean, I would liken that to, you know, nowadays, our common technology to us, like cell phones and microwaves and things like that, it would take something pretty whamadine for us to be like, oh my God, what was that? But it could very well be a test of something, some future technology that's just not available to us at the moment as society as a whole. You know what I mean?
I will say I saw an article today that there were multiple pilots that saw technically a UFO because they didn't know what it was while they were flying over the UK. Within the past few days, there was a news article that was put out about it. So the UFOs are out there. They're watching. All right. So
the truth is out there.
Yeah, the truth is stranger than fiction. All right. So let's get into the UFOs and alien connections. Ah, probing all day for the truth. So as far as actual UFO sightings, on June 24th, 1947, Kenneth Arnold reported seeing 9 objects flying in a V formation while piloting his private plane over Washington State. He said the objects flew like a saucer. He said the objects flew like a saucer would, like a saucer would if you skipped it across the water. I'm sorry, my brain wasn't comprehending. And the term flying saucer was born. I prefer the description of two pie, which is like two pie pans on top of each other, one facing down, one facing up. In July 1947, an airborne object crashed on a ranch near Roswell. The Roswell Army Airfield issued unidentified flying object, or UFO. The Army quickly retracted the statement, saying it was not a flying disc at all, but a weather balloon. But the original statement had already run in several papers. The incident was largely forgotten until the 1970s, when nuclear physicist Dr. Stanton T. Friedman wrote a book arguing that the crash was a result of extraterrestrial activity. In the 1990s, declassified documents said that the object was the weather balloon story was a cover for the secret project. Of course, UFO believers say that the spy balloon story is also a cover, and the Army really did cover an alien aircraft. Now, to go off with this, before any of the debris that was that Mac Brazel, who was the rancher who originally found the debris in the desert, he was trying to take his sheep to water, and the sheep wouldn't pass any of this debris. He had to take them all the way around it to get to the water. So when he, with a two army officers, went to go get the debris,
all right, I'm just going to go ahead and step in for Chris. Could you guys hear him, or is he out?
I think he's out. I couldn't hear him.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad that was him, because I thought, like, my computer was wonky and something was going on. Okay. Yeah, no, he cut in and out for me, so yeah.
All right, we're just going to do this, because he's, like, yelling in the bedroom. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's happening there. Oh, no. We're just going to keep going.
It's a regular Tuesday night at the Petrovsky house.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Yeah, right?
He's still, yeah, I don't know who's yelling. Anyway, so we're going to start a little bit. We're going to back it up just a little teeny bit. So on June 24th, 1947, Kenneth Arnold reported sighting nine objects flying in a V formation. While piloting his private plane over Washington State, he said the objects flew like a saucer would if you skipped it across the water, and the term flying saucer was born. In July 1947, an airborne object crashed on a ranch near Roswell. The Roswell Army Airfield issued a press release from General William Butch Blanchard stating it had recovered the remains of an unidentified flying object or UFO. The Army quickly retracted the statement, saying it was not a flying object at all, but a weather balloon. But the original statement had already run in several papers. The incident was largely forgotten until the 1970s when a nuclear physicist, Stanton T. Friedman, wrote a book arguing
Friedman.
The crash was a result. Okay.
Oh, and he's back.
Stanton T., you didn't hear any of the crap that I was saying?
I heard some of it, bits and pieces, but you were breaking up.
I had a whole thing going.
I know you did.
I was dropping knowledge bombs like crazy.
You were talking about how the rancher was going to, like, feed his sheep or get his sheep water, and they wouldn't go next to the quote unquote weather balloon.
That was the last thing I heard, Chris. Really, that was coming through really clear when you were talking about the rancher with his sheep.
Oh, so you guys heard me talking about the UFOs?
Yeah, you were cutting in and out, but I got the gist of it.
Oh, okay. Well, April, if you want to continue, I guess I won't stop you.
I do. Thank you for your permission.
Hey, he's a doctor. It's Dr. Friedman, by the way.
Thank you for yelling in that next room. Wrote a book arguing that the crash was a result of extraterrestrial activity. In the 1990s, classified documents said that the object recovered at Roswell was actually a balloon created for a surveillance program called Project Mogul. The weather balloon story was a cover-up for the secret project. Of course, UFO believers say that the spy balloon story is also a cover, and that the Army really did recover an alien craft.
All right,
okay, tell us all.
So there's also another project that goes along with this that the government used to try to explain the bodies, called Project High Dive, in which they would take up what they said were dummies high up into the air and push them out and see what would happen when they fell to the ground.
Oh, that doesn't sound terrible at all.
And that's how they explained the bodies with this crash. But
well, at least they weren't real people.
Like, there, a lot of the reports initially about the debris that was at Roswell talks about how, like, the what they called the memory metal that was, like, insanely light metal, but insanely durable. Like, they couldn't burn it, scratch it, bend it. They couldn't do anything with it. But, like,
it almost would become liquid while they were trying to mess with it, and then when they stopped doing it, it was like a non-Newtonian fluid almost. And then they said they were like little I-beams that had strange symbols on them and everything. And so, like, if you really want to get deep into the story of Roswell, like, it's really, really weird. And there definitely seems to, there is something there, because the government has gone to great lengths to try to convince everybody that it was a weather balloon. But, I mean, also, last thing I'll say on it, if you look at the picture that they took, the infamous picture that they're standing next to all the stuff that they're claiming to have recovered, and so that it's a weather balloon. A lot of it is, like, if you look at the picture, a lot of it looks brand new. No scratches, no dirt, no nothing. So if it was sitting in the desert for multiple days, I don't see how it would be immaculate. Hmm. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm done with it. Alien fever.
So in 1989,
the aliens are out to get you.
Yeah, they're probably already gotten me.
Jesus Christ.
In 1989, a man named Robert Lazar shocked the world when he went on television claiming to have been part of a military operation that worked on alien technology. Lazar said that the government possessed at least 9 alien spacecraft at a base called S4, which is not far from Groom Lake. The facility even had posters showing a UFO levitating several feet above the ground with the caption, "They're here." This was the first time an insider had indeed blown the whistle. Lazar said EG&G hired him to help reverse engineer the technology in the ancient craft for use in the U.S. military vehicles and power production. He discovered a rusty, heavy substance he called Element 115 that powered the alien spacecraft. Lazar's statements inspired an explosion of interest in UFOs in Area 51. But skeptics investigated as many as Lazar's statements as they could, and most appeared to be false. For example, Lazar said he held master's degrees from Caltech and MIT, but there's no evidence he ever attended either university. Lazar replied that the government was actively trying to erase his existence to discredit him. Also, both the Air Force and the Los Alamos National Laboratories denied he had ever worked for them. In 2013, a writer tried to contact him for the upcoming 25th anniversary of his allegations and was told, "Mr. Lazar no longer involves himself in matters related to the topic of UFOs."
I really want his name to be Laser.
Well, I consider pronouncing it that way, but I want Lazar.
Mr. Laser.
One popular claim among Lazar's believers is that much of our current technology is the result of using reverse engineering on alien spacecraft. Everything from radios to superconductors falls into this category. They argue that people on their own couldn't possibly have developed these technologies so rapidly without an alien model. Some claim that pilots at Area 51 are using alien technology against aliens themselves, shooting them down so that the other military crews can scavenge the parts.
I will say the alien model, she's very attractive.
Oh, Lord. All right. So not all conspiracy theories concerning Area 51 involve little green or gray men. Some revolve around shadowy organization or group of organizations dedicated to bring about the new world order. UFOs and reverse engineering stories are just tactics these organizations use to distract the public from their real goal, world domination.
Yeah.
One claim, yes. One claim common to Lazar's statements and other UFO enthusiast theories is a secret organization known as MJ-12, sometimes called Majestic or Magic 12. This group originally included a dozen extremely powerful individuals like President Harry S. Truman, the heads of organizations like the CIA, and powerful businessmen. Documents reported to be from this group have surfaced, mostly as discoveries of ufologists. What, did I say that right? Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Yes. William L. Moore, including papers bearing presidential signatures. Skeptics scrutinized these documents and uncovered many signs that they are fakes, including signatures that appeared to be copied from other official documents and pasted onto MJ-12 papers. Conspiracy theorists denounced the skeptics as either being fooled or actually employed by the government.
So, one thing back to you, Carrie, there's actually documented Wright Airfield back in the 1940s was designated as a place that was made for reverse engineering technologies. Not necessarily alien technologies, but they were like any like foreign country technologies or anything like that. They would all go to Wright Field, which is now Wright-Patt Airfield in Ohio. And that is where they would reverse engineer the technology. So there was actually a spot, but it wasn't in Vegas.
It's pretty interesting.
I'm full of useless information. April can attest to it. Are you on mute? Did you mute yourself?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I did. I did mute.
Just talking to herself.
It's fine. It's fine. Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Oh, it is your turn.
It is. Jesus Christ. Where am I? God help me. I need to put out the dumpster fire that is my life. Okay. I was reading all about Robert Lazar and fell into a fucking hole.
It's Laser. Rob Laser.
Wow.
Other theorists.
Wow. Anyway, other theorists say the MJ-12 documents are fakes, but official fakes made by the government to throw people off track. Believers fall into one of several groups, and often each group will accuse the others of actively promoting disinformation to hide the truth. Some believe that an alien spacecraft crashed in Roswell, New Mexico, and that the government shipped the wreckage and a body to Area 51 for examination and study. Others claim that the facility has underground levels and tunnels connecting it to other secret sites, and that it contains warehouses full of alien technology and even living alien specimens. The most extreme theories about aliens at Area 51 state that not only are aliens here on Earth, they're actually running the show. Apparently, the U.S. government has agreed to allow aliens to abduct people at will, experiment on these helpless citizens, and even grind them up into a paste that is later smeared onto the aliens as a source of nutrition and also as a facelift cream.
All right. Have you seen the president? I'm pretty sure an alien is running the show.
They live.
Hey, don't defame my brother in that way.
I mean, he's a hypnotist of some sort. He uses his eyes to spell magic.
Other theorists say that the aliens are here to use humans to create a hybrid creature. Oh, God, is that me?
Oh. Somebody's been probed.
We're going too deep.
Oh, somebody went too deep.
Jesus Christ. What?
Penetrating gum blast.
Oh, yeah. I broke Gary.
Well, he's her mother. It wouldn't even be her, it would be her mother.
We broke Gary.
Oh, God. Okay, so they're trying to create a hybrid creature since the aliens themselves are no longer able to reproduce on their own, which oddly really sounds kind of similar to the Tua De Danann, the fairy race in Ireland that we talked about a while back.
Maybe they're aliens because...
You know, if you read the description of how they arrived, they very much sound like aliens.
Exactly.
I mean, there is speculation that, like, fairies and leprechauns and, like, all those kind of things are actually aliens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, aliens just can't be Americans. I mean, that's really kind of, you know.
we only want to go to the best country.
It's really kind of, you know, stuck up to have that sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. Nowhere else on Earth but America will do for us.
Some offer hope with reports of shootouts between government forces and aliens, resulting in the return of the government to power. Stories cast the aliens in roles ranging from benevolent visitors to evil overlords who subsist on a paste made from ground-up human bits.
Sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
Oh, no. Soylent Green is human.
That's a Futurama episode.
Yeah, it is.
You
know Soylent Green is... Soylent Green, it's different from person to person.
Have you had some?
I mean,
actually, so I have actually had Soylent Green.
Oh. Yeah, which is either the best or the worst idea for a name.
Yeah, so it's actually like a weight loss shake, and it's no shit. It's called Soylent Green. They also have like Soylent chocolate, and they have Soylent vanilla, but the green is supposed to be flavored like vegetables. Like, and I've actually had some.
That doesn't make it more alluring.
I'm telling you right now, it's not bad. It's a little chalky, but all in all, not a bad shake.
Well, you know, they say human beings would kind of taste like pork, so.
Yes,
ew.
Well, sweet pork. It's human meat is actually said to taste like sweet pork.
I'm here to say.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I will do what I have to do in apocalyptic situations.
That's why I stay thin, so nobody will want to eat me.
No, lean cut.
Lean cut, yeah. I
bet the meat is marbled. Oh.
Well, Air Force representatives have publicly denied that aliens have anything at all to do with Area 51, but that seems to have only strengthened conspiracy theorists' wider suggestions. In UFO enthusiast lore, Hangar 18 is the name of the building that houses a captured alien spacecraft and even an extraterrestrial being. The location of Hangar 18 is up for debate among believers. Some have claimed the hangar at Area 51 is Hangar 18.
Ooh. All right, so we're going to get to one final theory about Roswell in particular, as it pertains to alien bodies recovered. This is going to blow your mind. Like Gwen Stefani. So, an article in the Tucson Weekly back in 2011 states, a new book on the mysterious government site in the Nevada desert called Area 51 claims there was no alien spacecraft that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico. Correction, the crash actually happened, I believe, like 70 miles outside of Roswell. So technically it didn't happen in Roswell. It just happened to be the closest, quote unquote, big city that was there. Anyway, but there was a crash of a disc-like object there. There were strange-looking bodies, and the government did cover it up. Oh, and former Russian dictator Joseph Stalin maybe had a hand in it. Whoa. I mean, mind blown. Anyway, according to Annie Jacobson, the reporter and contributing editor to the Los Angeles Times on national security matters who authored Area 51, the quote-unquote spaceship that crashed at Roswell, actually was a Soviet spy plane that came down during a storm. Jacobson says an impeccable source she worked with for 18 months while writing the book, a former engineer at Area 51 who saw the wreckage and the bodies, it was filled with bizarre-looking, possibly genetically engineered and/or surgically altered children-sized pilots that were designed to give the appearance of aliens, small-bodied creatures with big heads and large eyes. Oh yeah. And what was behind?
So it was like the Pekingese of people.
Oh.
Well,
like, did they have like kitty mills instead of puppy mills?
Oh man, this is getting good. So, and what was behind the crash? Then Soviet leader Joseph Stalin was hoping, Jacobson writes, that the news of a disc-like UFO flying around in the sky would cause widespread panic in the United States, as did the Orson Welles 1938 radio broadcast War of the Worlds. Stalin was said to be fascinated over how the broadcast caused panic among some Americans who actually believed the nation was under attack by aliens from outer space. And it gets weirder! Those alien-looking bodies were said to be scientific experiments created by the Angel of Death, Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele, for the USSR after the war, because apparently the USSR captured Dr. Mengele while he was hiding in Argentina with Adolf Hitler and forced him to fuck up these children and put them in a spacecraft that they launched from Mexico.
All I know is the fucking Men in Black are going to be at my house in like 5 minutes.
I mean, as long as it's Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, you'll be okay. And it's not like some, you know, tall, lengthy, pale-skinned man who sort of knows how to speak English but has weird sort of movements. And then eventually while you're talking to him, the lipstick that he's painted on around his lips to make it look like he actually has lips and not just sort of flaps for mouths, you know, just starts to fade away and his skin starts drooping, you know, and you start getting headaches.
Have you been drinking?
I mean,
And then Mothman shows up.
And Mothman shows up.
With a Jersey Devil in tow.
I know much more than I should probably about aliens and such subjects. I'm in too deep.
Been probed.
I mean,
someone. He needs an intervention.
Well, I mean, there are theories that aliens aren't actually physical phenomenon. They're actually psychedelic phenomenon that we just happen to see that appear within our mind. And that the reason that not everybody sees it is because that it's only specific to the one person that they're actually trying to project to. Yeah, if that doesn't freak you out. When they're going to strike.
I just posted a visual representation of you on tonight's show to the Freaks and Geeks page. It had to happen.
Oh my God. Oh, man. I mean, I've been going through podcasts and listening through and reading news articles and going through alien abduction stories and all types of stuff like that, and it's there's some rabbit holes, I'll tell you. But
that's what makes this stuff so interesting, though. I mean, in my opinion, for me, I mean, I think that's what fascinates me about this is there's so much there. There's, you know, the space stuff, and then there's the conspiracy, and then the government.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it's so intriguing.
I mean, there has to be something out there. There has got to be something out there. A, the universe is too goddamn big to think that we are the only rock going through space that has the ability to have life on it.
Exactly.
Not to mention Earth is probably a pretty badass reality TV show for the aliens that I assume are up there like the aliens from The Simpsons just watching and laughing their asses off.
Probably. That, yes.
Chris, well, you've definitely won the prize tonight for craziest conspiracy advocate.
I don't believe I've ever heard you so animated about something.
Yeah. Wait till we get to next week's episode with the alien abductions.
April, your post on our Facebook page right now is hilarious. The visual representation of Chris on tonight's show.
That is pretty accurate. Pretty accurate.
Perfect.
Just.
When April goes to go to bed, I'm just going to pull out a whiteboard and just start drawing on it.
This connects to here.
And these people are connected to this. So why do they need to be interacting? I don't know.
and they got this from Joseph Mengele. They went down to Argentina and they got him, and now he's working in Russia. Help!
I choose to believe that there is some shit at Area 51. There's got to be some shit.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you don't know what you don't know.
I mean, I know, but I don't know.
I know it. I know that I don't know.
I know.
I think Carrie has probably just passed out at this point.
Sorry. I'm just trying to recover.
Did we probe too deep?
Always. I'm gonna need at least a week to recover.
Well, you need to prepare yourself for next week. We talk about going up into the spaceships.
That's gonna be cool.
You know, hey guys, something came up next Tuesday night. Looks like I'm not gonna be able to be on.
Hey, if we gave up going to see Harry Potter tonight, you have to be here next week.
I won't hold anything against you. I won't talk about Ouija or spirit boards, so I don't hold anything against you.
We had tickets to advance showing tickets to Fantastic Beasts tonight.
Why
the new one.
Did you not go?
Well, because we have a show. Hashtag commitment.
I mean, I'm pretty excited by these topics, so.
Show up and show out. That's why. We had to bring old fucking Charlie from Always Sunny to talk about his conspiracies.
Couldn't let y'all miss out on that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a pretty good show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see everybody next week where we talk again about Carrie's favorite subjects, aliens. And yeah, it's
going to
be a good one.
Oh, so I'm going to try to get my hair to go in the style of the dude from Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. Well, you can do it. That's going to happen.
Oh, that's funny. Yes.
I'm going to say aliens, but...
Aliens.
We're going to get you like a velvet suit jacket.
Oh, God, please.
Is such a thing possible?
Please.
Yeah. I mean, we got aliens.
Well... Good. Yeah, I mean, there's a Goodwill down the street, so let's go.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it has been a great show. We will see you next week with another dose of aliens, and I hope everyone has a most excellent week.
Bye, guys.
Peace out.
See you next time.
Don't get probed.